Blog Talk Radio. Welcome to BLT, Business, Life, Transitions, the show that explores all the latest trends in your business, life, and our favorite topic, transitions. Hosted by Brian Basilico, the Director of Direction with B2B Interactive Marketing, and Jan Marino, CEO of High Gain Companies, Inc. And now it's time for some insightful conversation and interviews with your hosts, Brian and Jan.
Well, good morning, Jan.
Good morning, Brian. How are you?
I'm fine. Doing well this fine morning.
Good.
How are you?
Good. I'm good. And I did recover from the Oscars last night. And
that's good.
You know, I know it's so important to you and probably to the rest of our audience that didn't know the presenters either. But anyway. So
people that take it very seriously. I know a lot of people that have Oscar parties, you know, kind of like Super Bowl parties.
I know. I've never been to an Oscar party. So, yeah, but I there were a lot of the new dimension of social media, Twitter and Facebook and stuff during events like this on television that, you know, you get online and you read these tweets that are just hysterical. I mean, people are just saying the funniest things, and it adds this dimension that just at least it entertains me. I don't know about anybody else, but
I'm sure it does. It entertains a lot of people. Yeah. Social media is a lot of fun.
It is a lot of fun. And congratulations on rebranding your podcast. Good job.
Thank you.
Because you were talking
about it last
week.
Yeah, it was a lot of work.
And so
31 episodes had to be rebuilt from the ground up. But, you know, it's come out stronger and better and all that stuff. And it's, you know, it's one of those learning lessons as I, you know, this goes into reinvention and rebranding and all that stuff. I mean, it really kind of falls into that gap is when I originally did it, I thought nobody's going to get the bacon. Because people outside of my sphere of influence don't know me and the whole bacon story and the book and all that stuff. And so that's why I started out calling it My Marketing Magnet, figuring it would be a little bit more universally accepted. And it did completely the opposite. It just completely fell flat. And as soon as people start saying, you got to make it bacon, you got to make it bacon, it's like, okay. So I did, got a brand new opening, new look and feel, and it's all completely rebranded and I should have listened to him in the first place. But, you know, it's what life is, right? Learning.
Well, good for you. Congrats. I know that was a lot of work. But, yeah, we all know you about, you know, because it's not about you. It's about the bacon. And so that's very, very cool. Speaking of cool, we have a really cool guest on today.
Yes, we do.
Rick Lochner is just the best, let me tell you.
And he's with us. Hey, Rick, how you doing?
Oh, is he?
Good, Brian. Hey, Jan, how you doing?
I'm good. I'm really good. Hey, I want to, first of all, congratulate you on the new addition to your family.
Yes, I have a, you know, I continue to rebrand myself as, you know, grandparents is just the best job in the whole world. You know, staying with the tune, it's like, holy cow, you know, for 30 years, people that have worked for me have tried to calm me down. And all it takes is, you know, about 7 pounds a baby and it's all done. It's all over.
Oh, I know that the pictures are so, so cute. They're on Facebook. And what's the name of your newest grandchild?
Nolan Christopher.
Nolan Christopher.
So now we have a granddaughter and a grandson. So,
well, your wife Colleen, I'm sure, is happy, happy.
Oh, you think?
I think. Well,
just a wee bit.
Yeah, just a wee bit. So, I'm so glad that you're able to join us this morning. I was telling Brian that you and I won't even mention how many years ago. were my first business coach, and I was your first client when you first started your coaching business. But even before that, your story of reinvention, I think, is just so interesting. So why don't you tell us the name of your company first, Rick, and then talk to us a little bit about, you know, your reinvention story and how you've gotten to be where you are now, because it's fascinating.
Well, sure. It's my company is RPC Leadership Associates, and it's created around a vision for making leadership a way of life. And when you think of, you know, what goes into that, there's really a there's a lot of underlying reinvention stories that got not only me to where I am today, but also me helping others get to where they want to be and continuously reinventing themselves. The story really goes back to my my childhood, if you will, in the sense that by the time I was 40, I had 37 distinct mailing addresses. So when you absorb that and just the implication of what that means, it means that, you know, pretty much on average, just a little over every year, I was going somewhere else. I was going to a new school, making new friends. All of the things that goes into moving around as often as one does when they have 37 distinct mailing addresses in the first 40 years of life. So I guess early on it was, reinvention, if you want to call it. It wasn't called that back in, back in the 60s and 70s, but it was essentially the same thing. Because at some point as an adult, you're still faced with that, but then you have to now create reinvent to what? And so, early on you kind of follow, you go with a family, you I was in the military for 11 years, coming out of the military academy, and, early on, you're just kind of following orders. You get a piece of paper in the mail and says, okay, Lieutenant, be here in 60 days. And you don't interview for jobs in the military. You just go where the piece of paper says to go. And whether or not you're qualified, you really didn't have that choice. So you develop a mindset that says, okay, here's my next assignment. Nobody asked me whether I wanted it or not. Nobody asked me if I was qualified for it or not. They just said, go do it and have a nice life. So it's really attitudinal. You develop an attitude that says, okay, wherever I go next, whatever I tackle next, it's not a function of whether I can do it or not, because quite frankly, I was never given that choice. The only question is how long it'll take and, what will it look like when all is said and done. So that's, I developed, an attitude of reinvention early on, and then added to that through my corporate career, an attitude of not about staying employed, it's about staying relevant.
Oh, that's great. I mean, that's a great way to look at it.
Yeah, excellent point. And I noticed one thing, too. It says that you were a graduate from West Point. And so, you kind of grew up in that whole mentality. And just a side note, we actually lived in Cornwall, and my father worked at the Hotel Thayer, and my first guitar teacher was a sergeant at West Point. It was a very interesting way to learn guitar.
I'm sure there's a story in there somewhere.
Oh, there it is.
So fast forward, I guess, to for maybe a couple of stories that kind of formulate my corporate career. So I come out of the military and for coming out of the military in 1990 was not just a job change. It was a lifestyle change. I mean, that was the first time that I had not been in the military since I was born. So, I mean, it was in my DNA. And so all of a sudden you now have to not only learn a new job, but you have to get used to a different lifestyle. So it was, I remember early on as I started as a project manager at Sprint, you know, coming out of the Army, and I remember the fellow who sat next to me in the next cube, another project manager, at one point early on said, "Rick, you need to lighten up." I said, "We're not shooting real bullets anymore." So it was just getting that intensity of the military out of my system, but rechanneled a different direction. Now, I will say that, for instance, there was a video project that came up, and in the early 1990s, that was, video teleconferencing was still a new thing. Not only was it new, but it came out in these big hunkin' boxes, these big hunkin',
right.
You know, pieces of equipment.
Right.
And nobody really knew a lot about how to make video teleconferencing work. And so as a junior project manager, many of the senior project managers turned down the project because they didn't know video and they had other things, other projects, whatever the case may be. I said, well, I don't swear to know video all that great either, but I'll take it on. It sounds like an interesting project. So I took it on. You know, it had its issues, but bottom line, we got it in successfully. And this was for one of Sprint's top 10 business clients. So it was high profile on top of everything else. Well, I will tell you, fast forward, many of the project managers that turned it down in a year and a half later were all working for me. So when you talk about reinvention and you talk about leadership in the same sentence, it really is, you know, it's the core leadership that is built around, hey, I may not know it, but I'm going to take
right.
it on anyway. That's what, you know, ultimately that's what leadership is all about. And quite frankly, I think that's the kind of leadership that people want, especially now
right.
in the 21st century.
Right.
You know, people that can take that risk.
Exactly.
And then the second.
Go ahead.
Go ahead.
No,
the second story I would tell.
Yeah.
Is around. So I spent 13 years at Sprint, left, went to work for an entrepreneurial company for a couple of years after that, and then decided that I was going to get out of telecom altogether and get into healthcare. And as you can imagine, what most people told me when I said I was going to forego 28 years of, or 24 at the time, years of telecom experience and shift into a whole new industry that I really had no experience in. You know, again, reinvention.
Right.
But I think the
right.
other piece of it is, if you believe, the hell with the naysayers.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if that's what you believe you can do, and I did, you know, I spent a lot of time hanging out with people, consultants and people who had that healthcare experience. So it took me 8 months, but I ended up running all the non-clinical operations for a disease management company based out of Atlanta. So it can be done if you truly believe that that's what you want to evolve to.
Right.
And the naysayers and conventional wisdom prognosticators are likely going to tell you that it can't be done or it hasn't been done. All they're really saying is, I don't know how to do it, so therefore it can't be done.
So what was the biggest lesson that you learned through all these reinventions that you now pass on to your clients?
As I said earlier, it's one of the biggest challenges is reinventing to what? Right,
yes.
It's easy to look in the rearview mirror and say I can do all this stuff, and you and I have had this conversation as well.
No,
I
we
know
haven't.
You do a lot of.
No,
well,
we haven't.
But in your work with people that are career changing, not you. It's just in your work with
okay.
yeah, in your work with people that are making career changes. We you know
yes.
we've
yes.
you know we
yes.
have this very same conversation is. If you don't have a sense of changing to what, then the whole reinvention thing just sounds very foreign. And
right.
so to answer your question, the biggest lesson I've learned is what does it take to stay relevant in whatever line of work you're in? So So to me, telecom was an industry that was contracting, you know, becoming its natural oligopoly around the wireless world, and healthcare was growing. So it just
yes.
seemed to make sense that how can I take the skill set that I have and transfer that to a growing industry as opposed to one that was I mean, people mm-hmm. that weren't even in telecom know telecom can be a pretty brutal industry.
Yeah.
And probably
oh,
still
sure.
is.
It still is, I'm sure. It hasn't changed since you and I were in it.
Yeah, we talk about AT&T because I worked at AT&T for the longest time, and that's what my father did as well. And there's a skit that's called AT&T was AT&T when I worked there, and then they broke it up into the Baby Bells, and then it kind of split apart and then all came back together, and now it's AT&T again, and they call it the T-1000 of corporations. No matter how many times you break it up, it keeps coming back together.
Yeah, exactly. That's exactly right.
Very
yeah,
true.
It's
very true.
It's a brutal, yeah, it's a totally brutal industry. And, you know, that again, this is kind of, you know, near and dear to my heart, because a couple of the things that you were talking about is one another thing that my father did is when he retired, he actually went overseas to Okinawa and trained people leaving the military how to adapt to being in the social sector, the private life, and things like that. And that's quite a that's a huge transition. I mean, it's where everybody's thinking everything for you, and now you've got to make your own decisions. I mean, that's a big transition, isn't it?
It absolutely is. And the I remember one of the first speeches I gave when I left the military. It was for the West Point Rotary Club, of all things. And that's exactly what I talked about, was making that transition and being able to convert. You know, I guess another lesson is if you're moving from one industry to another, the one of the key elements is not necessarily what you know how to do, but can you speak their language? You know, when I left the military and all the acronyms that the military has, I had to learn a different language, which was basically the civilian version of that. And then when I left Sprint and joined an entrepreneurial venture, you know, they speak a different language altogether, even though it was in the same industry. And so, and then, of course, then from telecom to healthcare, I think healthcare wins the acronym battle. I mean, I swear they
yes, yes.
They just have so many. So it you know, another lesson there is, you know, when in Rome, speak Italian. And when in a, you know, whatever you're going to reinvent yourself to, learn that language. To this day, I still, you know, do complimentary interviews for any veteran who's looking to make that transition, because I know how important it is to move from the military culture to whatever culture you're moving into post, you know, post Army, Navy,
right.
Marine, Air Force, whatever.
Right, right. So in your work now with your company, what trends are you seeing with the clients that you work with? Trends and you know, whatever that means to you, I guess.
Well, it's, you know, there's just so many different trends. You know, when you look at, and I would break it into, you know, the three markets that I primarily work with, and is the, you know, the entrepreneurs, the corporate
right.
leader teams, and the nonprofit leadership teams.
Uh-huh.
I would add a fourth, and just in being able to spend some more time with students and
mm-hmm.
helping them become the leaders we need in the 21st century. But the trend, the positive trend I see is that you know, people are starting to understand how important context is in the leadership world, how they run their business. It's, you know, you can't just Google stuff and expect to be successful. You have to understand what that means. And, you know, of course, we were trained in the military to process information very quickly, turn it into context, turn it into knowledge, and make a decision, and then 30 seconds later do it all over again. So
mm-hmm.
I think people are starting to understand that how important that really is, and how important it is to be able to block out the stuff that doesn't matter. You know, true leaders and true, you know, when you maybe we all know somebody who just makes it look easy.
Right.
You know, just doesn't break a sweat, is, you know, seems to be managing everything that comes their way and making the best out of the 24 hours that they have. Their skill set, their secret weapon, if you will, is the ability to say no. Say no to the stuff, the noise, the,
mm-hmm.
the crap, the stuff that
oh.
doesn't matter. And they know the difference. The only way you can do that is to truly understand what's important to you. And I think that's a trend that, you know, my clients are open-minded enough to know that that's something they need to get better at, but everybody's going to be faced with it whether they get it or not, because that's just the natural order of things. If they're going to survive, then they're going to need to learn how to prioritize, learn how to lead and make decisions with context, not just content. So those are some of the underlying people skills that
mm-hmm.
successful leaders and where I focus, regardless of what market or segment they're in, those are the things that I see common to my client base across the board.
Very interesting, because, yeah, the whole context thing is really, really interesting.
Well,
Brian,
I was on another, I was doing another interview, and somebody
uh-huh.
asked me, what's the obligation for a leader who's made it to bring on the next generation? And I said, the obligation we have is to train the next generation of leaders, you know, assuming that whatever making it means.
Uh-huh.
But I said, the challenge the three of us have is sharing what we know in a context that is very different than the context we learned it in the first place.
Exactly. Exactly.
And that's why this is so
true.
Important.
Yeah, I mean,
that's
one of the things that we specialize in is, you know, getting people to understand that the message is the same, the mediums are changing, and people have to learn to adapt to the new way of communicating. And one of the things that we talk a lot about is if you want to, a perfect example of this is my wife talks to the kids 10 times as much now because she learned how to text, you know? And
yeah,
but it's true, you know. It's the mediums are changing, and people have to learn to adapt to, you know, ever changing technology. I mean, 10 years ago, we didn't have these cell phones in our pockets, which are microcomputers, and they're voice recorders, and they're, you know, there was no Twitter or Facebook, you know, texting and all that
mm-hmm.
stuff just wasn't as prevalent as it is now. And that's part of the deal too, is learning, you know, the technological side of communication along with the context side of communication, because, I mean, it's, you know, a face-to-face meeting is vastly different than a text. You can't put emotion into a text or a tweet or an email or things like that.
As people are learning sometimes the hard way.
Mm-hmm. Yes, they
are. So how do you get leaders to deal with those changes? I mean, how do you coach them through that?
Well, it's the how well do you really know the business that you're in,
mm-hmm.
right? And you know, change is one of those things where it's really binary. You're either ahead of change or you're a victim of change. There really is no middle ground there. And so part of that is, you know, when people struggle with making those kinds of decisions about their business, I always take it back to how well do you really know the industry that you're in? Because, you know, I've been accused several times in my career of having a secret crystal ball. And, of course, logically, you know, obviously there's no such thing. But and nobody that I know of has been able to predict the future. But what I do spend a lot of time on is reading and understanding what's going on in the world of leadership. You know, for instance,
right.
I spend a lot of time reading things on neuroleadership, you know, and what we know about the brain and how it helps us make decisions the way we do. Now, you know, that's just something that I foresee is really going to impact the, you know, what we know about what makes a successful leader. And so it's really, you know, how much time, you know, I challenge my clients, you know, how well do you really know the industry that you're in? My healthcare clients, what are you doing to stay ahead of Obamacare and the healthcare
mm-hmm.
rules and regulations that are changing?
Mm-hmm.
They are what they are, so we can sit here and have the pity party, or we
right.
can sit here and really take the time to understand it and make the decisions that we need to make. Again, you know, I don't control the enemy, never did when I was in the military. All I could do was control the current situation and really understand the enemy well enough to know that if he does that, then the next thing he's probably going to do is this, and what am I going to do to react to that?
Yeah, that's business, very interesting.
Business in the 21st century is no different, except that it's happening at warp 5.
Right, exactly. Yeah. Exactly. So once again, Rick, tell us the name of your company, please, because we're getting down to the end of the interview, and how people can get a hold of you, because I know that they've learned a lot just in these few minutes.
Mm-hmm.
Sure. So it's RPC Leadership Associates, and there's two ways online that I've got a website, rpcleadershipassociates.com. And then I've got another website, ricklochner.com, where you can see a lot of my blogs, my videos, and things that where it's just kind of me talking about, you know, what being a leader is all about. I can also be reached at I have a LinkedIn page, so you can find me easily in LinkedIn, and I'd be more than happy to connect to people. And then at 630-219-3316. For those that are just inclined to just pick up the phone and chat.
And chat. And do you have another book coming out? Because I know you've got two books out right now.
I do. I have. I published The Missing Piece in 2012, and then I'm Just Saying last year. And so in a couple of months, I will publish The Missing Piece for Entrepreneurs.
Oh, good.
Achieving Sustainable Growth Through Business Alignment. So that'll come out in a couple of months. And really focus, you know, business alignment on the entrepreneurs in the world.
Great, great. Well, it's been really a pleasure because we've been trying to get you on this show, and your schedule's just been so crazy, and we really appreciate you taking time to talk to us.
Yeah, likewise. Very much. Great stuff, Rick. We really appreciate it. Good stuff. Thank you.
Thank you, guys.
Rick.
All right. Have a good one.
Take care, Rick.
Take care.
Bye.
Bye.
Wow, great stuff.
I know. He's amazing. I mean, really, he's amazing. And he's the one that, you know, has always told me, Jan, focus. Focus, Jan. Just try it, Jan.
Yeah, just – it's not Brussels sprouts, Jan. It's not, really.
and for people, those of you who know me well, you know, that's always been my biggest – challenge because I love new things, and so I love new gadgets, and I love, and you know, it's like, oh, look, a chicken, I'm going that way, and then, you know, oh, look, a rabbit, I'm going that way, you know.
Squirrel.
Squirrels, I'm heavy into squirrels and raccoons, big with raccoons.
Yeah, so one of the business coaches that I interviewed for a different thing, she said it really straightforward, and I loved it. She says, chase two rabbits, catch none, chase one rabbit, eat dinner,
right,
and then go chase another, you know.
Right, exactly.
And that's,
exactly.
You know, it's hard in business because there's so many, you know, I mean, you've got to pick and choose your battles, you
right.
know, but there are some things that just take time and patience, you know, and you just can't give
do.
Up on it, you know.
They do, and I didn't realize that, you know, I've had high gain companies for 8 years now, and I, you know, that was out on LinkedIn, and I thought to myself, you know, just what you said, if you beat yourself up and think, oh, you know, I should have done this in 3 years, or I should have done this in 2 years, or, you know, whatever
right.
it is, that, because it's never good enough, it's never enough, it's, you know, that whole thing.
Right.
But anyway, this was great
right,
interview. Okay, go ahead.
Yeah. No, it's all about evolution and revolution. I mean, and that's what the show is about, is learning, growing, and transcending. So anyway, Jan, we're getting down to the last 10 seconds.
Yep.
So have yourself a great week. We'll talk to you next week. And thanks, everybody, for joining us.
Thanks, everybody.
Take care.
Okay, that's today's BLT, Business, Life, Transitions. You can contact Brian at bbasilico@me.com and Jan at jan.highgainco@gmail.com. Join us again next week for some more great insight about your business, your life, and your transitions. Till next time, thanks for tuning in.